December 1st at 6 p.m., our fun Jingle Mingle Christmas meal will be in the Fellowship Hall. The sign-up sheet is on the back table, and please sign up because, and please come because we're going to have lots of fun. Divas meeting is Saturday, December 7th at 10 a.m. at the Fellowship Hall. Breakfast will be served. It is going to be a wonderful time, and we would ask each person to bring a wrapped gift of $5, no more than 10 in value, for Secret Santa. That sounds interesting. Friday, December 13th at 6 p.m., DeHart Festival of Lights. Harvest Worship Center Choir will be one of the featured singing groups. Please come out and support them on Friday night. Children's Church Christmas program continues every Wednesday and Sunday until the program is presented on Sunday, December 22nd at 10:30 a.m. It is called The Journey. Parents, please make sure your children are here each night and day for the rehearsals. Don't forget there is service tonight. Looking forward to seeing what God's doing at Harvest. And also, Todd Smith will be at Mayo Mountain Church on the 21st and the 22nd of November at 7 p.m. nightly, Thursday and Friday. And don't forget that from 11 to 2, he will be at the Honey Pot for a book signing. So please come all out and enjoy. Thank you.
That's good, Dolly. Amen, amen. Did you have an announcement? Okay. Also, that's great. And the Jingle Mingle, just want to say, it's going to be absolutely beautiful. The theme and the decor, so you need to come out and support that. I want us to have a special time of prayer as we gather on Tuesday nights and whenever, but pray for our youth. As our incoming president is putting together this enormous cabinet, I feel like it's time for us, and I feel the urgency to almost put together a cabinet here, if you know what I mean. We need some incoming youth ministers, people working with youth. We need them desperately. I'm talking about the little ones on up to the teenage. We need a youth minister badly. Amen. Y'all, amen. Somebody's, if we want this church to continue on and to grow, we need to get ahead of the game, way ahead. Amen. So please pray about that. I feel a shift. I feel a good thing coming to this church. Amen. I really, really, really do. I feel it in the air. I feel it in the atmosphere of this nation. I'm happy. I'm jubilant. I'm excited. I don't know. Something's getting ready to really take a big shift. Amen. And I know Pastor's got a revival scheduled coming up in Georgia, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited. I just feel like some things are getting ready to open. I've had some doors open for us to preach in Pakistan via Skype, via online, and I mean, this is to multiple hundreds of thousands of people, and we could go over there too if we want to. So things are getting ready to open, so we've got to get everyone in place here, amen? This is the base. So we got to get everybody in place. Remember, Kenneth and Marlene Hughes and Doug Harbor is there in Columbia, and their daughter and that team and that whole revival going on in Columbia right now. Lance Johnson will be holding a men's conference here soon. He is in Pakistan now preaching to 250,000. And my goodness, can you imagine? And Lance is just, he's the real deal. And he's coming here to provoke us and get our men straight and going forward, amen. Lance is the one to do. I said, you need an alpha male in here, and that would be Lance Johnson, amen. We need some alpha males. Men have just, never mind. Y'all have just been dogged, drugged through the mud. And as a woman, I'm tired of it. I want the men to rise up, amen. And they are, I know they are, but I'm talking about, come on, these growly alpha men, we need you.
Anybody saying, please get rid of them. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. This evening, in light of us having our service here, I know that Kreitz is still having their revival there, and with Tommy Drum. So I want us to go out there tonight. Their service starts at 6 p.m., just like ours, and I think it would be good for us to support them. I think that this is the final night of that meeting unless God does something greatly and powerful. Amen. So let's go support them tonight and believe God for that. I want to remind you also our friend, Brother Todd Smith, coming to Mayo Mountain. What an awesome thing. And so we want to go support that. And you need to go up to the book signing and support that as well. Somebody say amen. Amen, because I know it's going to be good. Well, let's invite the presence of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you right now. God, we say that you are good and there's none like you, Lord, in all the earth. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we ask right now that, God, that you touch your people today. Father, move across this nation. We thank you for all that you're doing, but we know, God, it's going to take your mighty hand. Breathe upon every believer, Father God. Let their hearts be stirred, Lord, to take this opportune time that you've given to the body of Christ, Lord, to see revival and awakening in America. We ask you, God, to touch the nation of Israel today, their leadership, Lord, giving them wisdom and being with them, showing them every move to make, Lord God. Father, we thank you right now for the victory that you've given to us through your Son. Thank you for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise right now. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Yeah, I just welcome you to be at home this morning in the service. Amen.
When I see.
till it was through. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointments is Sunday's empty tomb. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Across the fire is stirring something new. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime soon. Yeah, resurrection power runs in my veins too. I believe there's another miracle here in this room. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. I hear them rattle.
Oh, do what only you can do this morning, Lord. Lord wants to give you garments of praise for heaviness. I believe lifting up is going forth in this place today. Amen.
My God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that He wants to. Just ask the man that was thrown.
party. That's right. You heard me right. Yeah. He's the chain breaker. The uplifter. Man, he causes us to triumph in everything, in every way. So good. Man, so good.
Be still, there is a healer whose love is deeper than the sea. His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, on my strength, and I pour out my heart. These things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever.
You are so faithful.
Still, there is a river that flows from Calvary's tree, a fountain for the thirsty, your grace that washes over me. Let faith
says that unless our faith become that of the Pharisees, we have nothing
right
greater than the Pharisees.
Come on.
You know, they knew the word of God. They could quote it. But Jesus standing right in front of them, they didn't recognize the Messiah. The one that was going to turn their world around. The Savior of the world. The Messiah stood right in front of them and they didn't recognize him. That is a deceiving spirit. And that is what has covered our country and the world for a long time. And we're believing those things break in Jesus' name. That eyes are being opened. Hearts are being turned. Prodigals are running home. I don't care how. how far away or what this, that, or the other, they're coming home in Jesus' name. Eyes are being opened. Even in this region, we speak that this morning, that eyes are being opened, hearts are being changed. We bless you, Lord.
Here is where I lay down every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay down every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay down every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay down every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender.
Those things that don't mean anything, and embrace the thing that you have put, that thing that you desire inside of us. We bless you. We bless you.
And I will make room for you to do whatever you
surrender to him right now. We bless you, Lord. We surrender to you, oh God. We bless your name. We bless your name. Let's just bless his name.
Let's bless his name. Bless his name.
Lord, you are worthy.
What a powerful song. Man, what a powerful song. I love, 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 love that song. It just stirs me every time I hear it. Shake off religion, your way is better. You know, David and I received a very strong prophetic word while that, when that song was being played. And I remember just worshiping. It was in that service we got that word. And I don't know, it's just powerful. Brings back a lot of good memories for me, that's all. All right, you may be seated. Ushers, if you'll come. I want to remind us to pray for David Clifton's family. He left to go visit his mom, who they just put in hospice. And right after David and Lisa got there, she passed within the hour. So, you know, that mom was just waiting for her son to come and bid her a good transition. And I'll see you later. See you in a bit. Just until just until. Good to have Merle and also Whitney here. I know Whitney lost his mom, and well, they're not lost. We know where they are. They're just waiting for us, and Merle lost her precious dad. And I'm telling you, it's good to have you guys here, and I pray that you'll get ministered to in a special way today. Amen. But do remember David Clifton's family. I know you will. And thank you for your giving. God is so good. Amen. I'm telling you, I just feel like some big things are getting ready to happen. This is your 41st. That's what I keep, the 41st. It's your 41st. That's just it. That's just total confirmation. 41, that's it. 41's coming. That's a big deal. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you and praise you for all that you've done. Thank you for all these faithful givers and tithers into the work of ministry. I thank you for those that tithe, those that give offering, and those that do almsgiving.
Well, no commente. Well, you do. Scripture says so. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. It is good to see you in God's house. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. Praise the Lord. And we watched online last week, and you guys had a powerful service with Brother Hughes. And I know Columbia's rocking this morning with he and his wife and Doug and his daughter and the team that's there with them. We believe in God to move in a powerful way. He's believing God that he'll just be able to pick up where he left off over there. And, you know, because I think that there were thousands that were beginning to show up. And he said, I felt like I left early. And I know that feeling. And so I want to believe God with him today that God would just pour out his spirit in a powerful way. Amen. Amen. And what a great week. Praise God. New president, new vice president, new cabinet, the toolbox. And you can just feel the atmosphere changing. And I think that is because people wanted change to move from socialism to freedom again. And we need that. Somebody say amen. I don't think some people realize the clutches of socialism was really gripping our nation in many, many ways. And we thank God for all that he's done. But I know one thing. What we want is an awakening in America. God, pour out your spirit in America. God, pour it out. I pray that it'll hit Donald Trump and he'll be speaking in tongues. And I pray that it'll sweep through the Senate and the House and the power of God just fall in a marvelous and mighty way. And I believe that it can, and it can happen. Amen. There's lots of wonderful things that happen in that Senate and that House, you know, when devotional times come anyway. I mean, you'd be surprised at the people who do speak in tongues and those who do pray and praise the Lord because he's a good God. Somebody say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles today to Isaiah 54. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. This should be one of your favorite scriptures. Isaiah 54, 17. I mean, we were in Tennessee last week. I tell people, I never see a bear when I go to Tennessee. And all the years that I've been going, never seen a bear. And then he went in a candy shop. The bear went in a candy shop. And as a guy trying to get the bear out of there, and they had to call animal services, and that was after we got back, I said, dadgone it. What is up with these bear? And, of course, I see them at my house and see them down the road, but Tennessee's supposed to have a lot of bar. Amen. And we didn't get to see any, but maybe next time. Maybe next time. I guess we'll just have to get one, make a pet out of it, and amen. Name it Yogi. How's that? All right. Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 17. The Bible says, no weapon, no weapon, no weapon. Everybody say that. Say, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every, listen to that, every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shalt thou condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And the righteousness is of me. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. What a powerful verse. What a powerful verse. Let's read it again. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Thank God. Father, thank you for your word today. We ask you to come and touch our minds and our hearts. Grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Holy Spirit, help me to communicate this today in the way that you communicated it to me. Father, I pray that every word will come forth accurately, boldly, as you'd have it to come. Let lives be touched and transformed. Let miracles happen in people's lives. Let people receive healings today, God, even as the word is going forth. Father, we pray that every weapon will be melted, destroyed, shattered, broken in the name of Jesus today. And Lord Jesus, that you'll be magnified and glorified in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. You may be seated this morning. Glory to God. I got to ask, how many watched that Mike and Paul fight? Netflix. I was thinking about not Mike Tyson. They were asking him, you know, why did you do this? What did you do this for? He said, I did it for me. I had to prove something to me. And I wouldn't have gotten a ring with him. I don't care. I told my nephew, I texted him, I said, the wind from his glove would knock me out. I was like, how many would get in the ring with him? Okay. We're going to put you in there. Amen. All right. Let's get serious. We're living in that pivotal moment right now, I believe, that is the clash of kingdoms like we've never seen it before. Light, darkness, good and evil, the redeemed and the unredeemed. I think that that's going to be something that becomes clearer and clearer. God and Satan, and then also Christ and the Antichrist, or the anarchist, the Antichrist that are at work in the world in which we live. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's important for us to know we have a kingdom that is unshakable. Listen to me. Just because Donald Trump is president, and if he gets every member of the cabinet that he wants, and we have the House and so forth, if we have all of those things, I want you to know and understand, we're getting ready to enter a battle like we have never seen before. And the prayers that you prayed to have an exchange of presidents and regimes, let's say, you're going to have to really pray to see God maintain and God move in this, because he is to be exalted. He's the one that's to be lifted up. And so we got to believe God that we have to understand we are in the very early beginnings of something. And unless the church prays, if she doesn't understand who she is in this hour, unless we pray, we're not going to see anything change or anything happen because there's the enemy that will try to thwart it if he can. Amen. Amen. So when Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 24 and Luke 21 and then in Mark chapter number 13 concerning the end times, and we touched on this a little bit last week, I want you to listen to what he says because he's giving the description of the last days, the end times. For nation shall rise against nation. Let that sink in. Nation shall rise against nation. There shall be earthquakes in divers kinds of places. And there shall be famines, troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. These are the beginning of sorrows. Literally translated birth pains. That's why you need to get that. Remember I told you last week that one of the things that the early fathers of the church wanted to put forth in people is that you need to hear the message and you need to hear it often. You need to understand these are birth pains of the end time. With each pain that comes, it grows more intense. Everybody say more intense. Calamities and anguish which precede the event of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of 31,000 verses in the Bible, the 8,000 that are prophetical, pointing to the end of the time and these last days in which we live, Jesus Christ exhorts his church to be prepared. Everybody say, be prepared. Be prepared. To be not troubled, to be alert, to be sober, because those things are important. I think sometimes we hear them, but we hear them so often that we really lose sight of what Jesus is really telling us. He said, man, you need to get this. Look at your neighbor and say, get this. Get this. And one of the things that he teaches is do not get caught up in loving this world and all that it has to offer with its glitter and its gold and its approval of you and its acceptance of you. Don't get into that. See, he doesn't at the same time share these things to cause his followers to be burdened or depressed. And I like this. Is that when Jesus unpacks this and when he is giving us these things about the end time and when we read what Peter and Paul and John and James and all the other writers wrote, they didn't write that to make us be heavy or burdened or depressed. Because you can read that. The whole litany of things that are going to happen, you begin to read that and you begin to say, my God. Jesus said men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. I mean, that's heavy. Darkness is going to cover the earth, gross darkness to people. I mean, you know, troublous times are here, et cetera, et cetera. You think about those things and it can like put a heavy blanket up on Christendom. It can make us feel like, oh my God, I wish that I were dead. I wish that I had been born in a different time. You know, the way out of this is to understand who you are and what Jesus is talking about here because he says this. Listen to what he says. In this life you shall have tribulation. That's a promise. The Son of God gave that promise. Somebody say, in this life I'm going to have tribulation. Man, I love the next verse. But be of good cheer, Jesus says. I have overcome the world. I love that. My God. Woo! Somebody praise him right there. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world for you. Thank God because he overcome, we can overcome. Somebody say amen. Amen. With deception and delusion on the scale like we've never seen it before. Listen, demonic spirits, principalities, the demonic duplications, the satanic substitutes, all the different things that we're going to deal with and see unleashed in the world. And in the church, somebody say in the church, thank God that Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to which there's no equal on this planet. I want to put a lot of dependence upon him. Somebody say, I must depend upon the Holy Spirit. You think about this. With one blast of his breath, he can take the enemy out. One revelation from his word can put you on top. When everything else seems haywire and dark and dirty and nasty and all the heaviness that you feel, one word can put you on top. He can equip us with spiritual gifts suddenly in this hour to do something great in his name. the beast and the false prophet and the antichrist cannot stand against you and me. Did you hear me? I said the beast, the false prophet, and the antichrist cannot stand against you and I. No. Can't do it. Somebody say cannot do it. I love this. 1 John 4:4 says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4, that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Somebody say yes. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Mm-hmm. Do you have faith in Jesus? Do you have faith that he's the conqueror? So he that believeth is the one that overcomes. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that. I believe that. And so this is what Jesus is after. He said, I don't want you to be gloomy. I don't want you to feel the doom, and I don't want you to be heavy with all the disparaging things that you may see and hear in the world in which we live. He said, I want you to know that you are living in the best time that you could ever live right now, because you're going to be given an opportunity that all your predecessors didn't have. You're going to be the ones that stand in the gap and make up the hedge. You're going to be the ones that stand up and move forward and not backward. You're going to be the ones that are light and not darkness. You're going to be the ones that are my voice in the earth, and God says that you're going to be the ones that tread things out, and you're going to see victory on every turn because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Because you're going to get to see, and you're going to get to experience the power of God in this hour on a scale that nobody else has. I've said so often down through the years that I believe in every move of God, every awakening that has ever been, whoever preached it, wherever it was, whatever time that it was, the mighty miracles, the signs and the wonders and the things that God did, the movers and the shakers, that God is going to take and extract all the mess out of those moves, and he's going to pour out his honey in the last days, the true, real, genuine outpouring of the Holy Ghost of heaven to anoint his people. Listen, for you, the pew sitter, to get out and open that blinded eye, unstop that deaf ear, cast that demon out, make the lame to walk and the dumb to talk. Somebody give some praise to God. Somebody said, why do you believe that? Because for so long, the bride has been pushed over in the corner somewhere, and she's been weeping and waiting, but the time has arrived for her to rise up in Jesus' name and begin to shine for her Lord and her Master. Somebody say amen. My God. See, everybody doesn't know it yet, but there's coming a time when liberty is going to do away with slavery. When restoration will dispel depravity, and when salvation will dispel ruin, and when peace and prosperity will do away with war and insecurity. And then the Bible says and proclaims that that is when Jesus will become the desire of all nations that Haggai chapter 2 speaks of. Right now, the world is looking for that peace, and they're looking for change, and they're wanting something on a grand scale to happen. And this is why you, as the body of Christ, have got to understand, it's my time to shine. It's my time to speak. It's my time to be a voice. It's my time to rise and not be silent. I will not be masked and put on the back row anymore. I'm going to be a voice that speaks the truth in this hour. So why? So that those people that are hungry and broken and in need can receive what they need through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of a powerless gospel. I want to see God's hand move. And I'm talking about really move in the earth. I'm talking about move in the earth. I'm talking about, listen, this is not just a cliche. I'm talking about when you're in Walmart and the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you prophesy. I'm talking about when you're in the department store or you're in the grocery store buying groceries, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes upon you and God speaks to you and says, go over there and tell that woman, rise up and walk in Jesus' name. Go over here and tell that person that's addicted, you are free and loose from your bondage in Jesus' name, and see the hand of God move. Somebody say amen. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. I'm talking about the church rising up. Somebody say, because no weapon formed against me. And see, it's important that I understand that I grip this. If you are a believer in Jesus, God is saying to you this morning, you don't have to worry about the darkness, the calamity, the troubles, the hardships, the trials. Because if you understand that when those things are coming at you and you're facing those things, I look at them and I'm an Isaiah 54:17 person and say, they're all weapons formed against me, but they're not going to prosper. It is my time to shine. What do you mean? It's my time to shine. Because when the world doesn't know what to do, when it doesn't have food, when it doesn't have water, when it doesn't have clothing, when it can't find peace, it's going to look at people like you and me and it's going to say, where did you get it at? I've got to have what you got. And they're going to come running and flocking to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you give God praise for that this morning? Hallelujah. See, when you read through the scripture and you find things like what Isaiah, you know, is beginning to unfold some things. It's called the Messianic Book of the Old Covenant, you can say. It reveals the sovereignty of God as you begin to read through it. And it shows the glory of God. And it introduces Jesus. Listen to what it says. He's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. See, these are all titles that are exclusively given to Jesus Christ. And they reveal God's love and protection for you and I. Because if you understand this, when the Bible tells me that I run into the name of the Lord and I'm safe, that I say that I'm running into my counselor, I'm running into the everlasting Father, I'm running into the Prince of Peace, I'm running into the one that's wonderful, I'm running into him, and I know that everything is going to be okay. What's he saying? Because when you run into that name, no weapon formed against you shall prosper that's in this earth. Somebody will call you on the phone, and you'll turn on the TV and you'll see something is happening on the news, and somebody is going to say, what are we going to do? Say, I'm going to run to the Lord, my rock and my God. I'm going to find out what his counsel is for me right now at this particular time in this earth. And so the prophet also tells us that God holds the future. How can I be afraid of tomorrow if my God holds the future? He tells me Zion is going to be restored. And I'm telling people, when the world is falling apart, I said, you really don't understand it, but if you can see behind the scenes, you're going to see the hand of God putting things back together. The devil may be on this visible side tearing things up, but God is on the invisible side putting things together. Do you understand that when hell is breaking out and Armageddon is happening at the same time, there's a new Jerusalem that's coming out of God from heaven to planet Earth? And when the devil's licking his chops and he thinks he's got everything wound up and everybody's in the woe syndrome, listen, God is in the present tense saying to us, I'm taking out the evil so that I can bring in a reign of righteousness. Come on. Do you understand that? At the same time that all this hell is going on, God is at work behind the scenes. Somebody say, he's working, he's working, he's working, he's working, he's working. And then Isaiah comes along and he does something else for us. He introduces in Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. He says, look, he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. And with his stripes, you are healed. Man, you can't get a better deal than that. Say, Jesus was wounded for me. He was bruised for me. He was chastised for me. And I'm going to receive every single thing that he has. For me, somebody say yes. And then God comes along and it's like he just has to put the icing on the cake in the book of Isaiah. He says, sing, you that were barren. I love this. You are about to become more fruitful than any other. Enlarge the place of your tents where you dwell, because you're about to break out on the right and on the left. Man, does that sound like defeat? Does that sound like it's over? No. See, the church is not going to leave here until the church is shining. Shining, shining. Somebody say shining with the glory of God. And then God comes along and he makes this statement. In Isaiah 54, verse number 16. I created the smith, the forger of weapons. Get this. I created the one who destroys. Now remember, I was telling you, I need to clarify this right here because this is important. Because when God says that I created a destroyer, he's talking about a permissive tense, a causative tense. Now listen to me. I created the one who destroys. So he was created to guard my throne. You got to get this. I created the destroyer. But he's really saying, I created the one who guards my throne. But he chose rebellion. And he chose the path of darkness, whose name is Satan. It's not Lucifer anymore. So God says he made himself a destroyer. I am God, and besides me, there is none other. So what is God saying? He's saying, I know every conceivable weapon that can be formed and that can be created. Wow. Get this, and this is my promise to you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This word performed comes from the Hebrew word that means no weapon will ever win over you. I like it. Come on. No weapon will break you down. No weapon will prosper against you. Listen, why? Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is an inheritance that's granted to us by Jehovah. Mm-hmm. Look at your neighbor and say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So it means before the enemy can come and form his weapon against you, that it has already been disarmed by the Lord himself. I love this. Our heritage is God testifying that every time that his people were surrounded by the enemy and when weapons were formed against them, that they all failed. Come on. Isn't it wonderful to understand today that the devil may be fashioning something against you right now to try to cause you to fail or to fall or to never rise again? But while the devil's doing that, God has already conquered it and called it a failure to begin with. God said, you can bring it against my people, but I want you to understand one thing. If you formed it, it's already defeated. Before you can get that javelin out of your hand, it's already cast down. Before you can get a fiery dart into their heart, there's a shield of faith that's come up to quench it. Before you can ever take them out, they are destroying your works through my mighty name. Somebody give God some glory this morning. Hallelujah. This is why the Bible says, let the high praises of God. Psalm 149, let the high praises of God, let. Somebody say, I've got to do this. I've got to let the high praises. What are the high praises of God? I'm praising him because I know that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I'm praising him because I know that he is my rescue. He's my savior. He's my salvation. He's my healing. He's my prosperity. He's my help. Come on. He's the one that makes me an overcomer. I'm praising him. Listen, when you get up in the morning, you ought to begin to praise the Lord instead of trying to pour out and ask him for something. You need to begin to praise him that your day is going to turn out right. You need to praise him and thank him that the devil may try something against you, but you are the victor. In Jesus' name. He always causes you to triumph. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their mouth. Talking about the scripture. To execute vengeance upon the heathen. What did it say? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. He's talking about wicked. The wicked. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles of fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgments written. This honor have all the saints. I love that. Praise ye the Lord. My God, that's why I need to praise him. I said, that's why I need to praise him. That's why I need to praise him. In 2 Kings chapter number 6, there's a story that we read about how the Syrian king came and began to war against Israel to take siege against it. And so every time that this Syrian king would come against Israel to besiege it and begin to come in with some strategy. And I want you to keep in mind, this is important. Syrian means a high place. Everybody say high place. It means a citadel. It means a fortified place. So when we're speaking about the Syrians here in typology, we would say that it is talking about Ephesians chapter 6, principalities and powers and spirits of wickedness and high places that we war against. Okay? Because when this Ben-Hadad began to come against Jotham, the king of Israel, when he began to come in against the land, they did this without any prompting whatsoever. They would just do it from time to time, and they would harass the nation of Israel. They would just go in and pilfer things and just do it to their desire. And so here, when this king is beginning to come in, something begins to change and something begins to shift. What happens is that now when the king is beginning to tell them, we're going to send you in, we want you to come in right here, and we're going to use this strategy, and we're going to use this, and we're going to hurt the Israelites, and we're going to besiege their city. We're going to take them in siege. And the Bible said that the prophet Elisha, everybody say Elisha, that the Holy Spirit would whisper in his ear and tell him what they were strategizing. Well, you got to get this. So while the king is in his secret chambers and he is strategizing and he's coming up with things to do, places to attack and to bring against the nation of Israel, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the strategies of the wicked one. So while they're strategizing how that they can do harm to Israel and bring siege to the city, the Holy Ghost is listening. God has angels on assignment that are writing stuff down. And so they'll take this message and this word back to the prophet of God, and they'll begin to tell him what the enemy is strategizing. And in return, the prophet of God sends word back to the king of Israel, and he tells him, he said, now the king of Syria is planning to do this in such and such a place. And so then when Syria would come and begin to bring their strategy in that place, Israel would already have a strategy in place that they could conquer and win. Is that good? Finally, it got to the place that Ben-Hadad said this. He said, I want to know who the traitor is in my cabinet. I want to know who the person is that's telling the secrets that we talk about in the secret chambers of the war room back here. I want somebody to tell me who this Benedict Arnold is. And they say, well, it's really not anybody, O king. But that prophet by the name of Elisha in Israel is sharing with the king every strategy that you and your guys are talking about in the war room. And therefore, every time that you give them the strategy to implement that and to bring your weapons and arsenal against Israel, that word comes into the ears of that prophet, and he tells the king of Israel, and he tells them, he said, that's why you fail every time, because you just can't prosper against the people of God. He's spoiling you. And so the king says, well, I want you to tell me where he's at. I want us to find this guy. And so somebody comes up and says, well, he's dwelling in Dothan. And so they all go down. Can you imagine this army being amassed? He gets the whole army. He gets horses. He gets chariots. He gets his soldiers. And he goes down to Dothan and he surrounds this place where he knows that one prophet and his servant are. Everybody say two against thousands. One shall put a, two shall put, Get this now. God, this is so important. They come down. The servant gets up that morning. He walks outside like he usually does. You know how you're looking up at the sun shining in your face, you're rubbing on your stomach, and you're thinking about breakfast. You're thinking about the chickens that worked overtime to provide me eggs, and the hogs have already provided bacon. You're thinking about that early morning breakfast and you can smell the bread cooking, hanging in the air. So he goes out and he's just wiping the sleep out of his eyes, and he happens to look up and he sees all of a sudden the hills and the mountains are filled with horses and chariots of the Syrian army. And he begins to shake and tremble. And what does he do? He runs into where the prophet is and he says, hey, hey, he said, you got to get out here and see this for yourself. He said, because the whole Syrian army's out here surrounding us this morning. With horses and with chariots, what are we going to do? And I love this answer. Elisha didn't get up. He didn't go look at the mountain. He didn't peek out the window. He prayed a prayer. Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes. That's good. Man, that'd make a Baptist tear the carpet up running around this building. My God. Now, that's a preaching point right there. You do know that. Because I understand this morning that when I got up that hell was already strategizing against me. He's already working to mess up my men's meeting. He's already working to mess up my meeting in Georgia. He's already working to make one of us sick or to attack us or to do something stupid in my family. I know that the devil is already working overtime to try to mess up one of my saints, to make them sick or to hospitalize them or to kill them or to take them out. I understand that the devil, man, he plays for keeps. He's a hardball player. He doesn't just come just wanting to just thump you or hit you just a little bit. His desire is to stomp you and put his foot on you and to put his sword in your throat and to take off your head and destroy you. See, I understand today that hell wants me stopped. He wants you stopped. He wants the body of Christ stopped. And he'll do it any way that he possibly can. So he's strategizing. Principalities and powers and spirits of wickedness in the high places. And I say, devil, you're not going to have that casino in Danville, Virginia. It will move in Jesus' name. Just as surely as God put 58 out there, it's going to move. Just as surely as this building's on this hill, it's going to move. Just as sure as that hospital is opening, it's going to move. I want you to know, devil, you've come too late to tell me what I already know, that God is getting ready to move. You strategize all you want to, but my Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every lie that comes out of your mouth, I will condemn it and show it to be wrong in Jesus' name. He's strategizing. He's strategizing. Well, I can't let you preach. I can't let you go there. I can't let you witness to that person. I can't allow you to pray. I can't allow you to read your Bible. I can't allow you to attend church. I can't allow you to praise God. I'm going to have to do something to occupy your mind and occupy what's going on in your surroundings so that I can keep you where I want you at. No, I'm going to break out on the right. I'm going to break out on the left. I'm going to expand my borders because God is getting ready to move. Somebody shout yes. He's strategizing. Somebody say strategizing. He's strategizing. Where's that prophet at? Where's that believer at? Because I can't ever do anything to them because they seem to already know that hell is up to something. That's what gets me. I have so many people that come in and tell me, did you know? I say, yes, yes, I've known for months and sometime for years. I just don't talk about it. Because every time I do, I give a piece of food to the devil. I don't want to agree with him. I want to put something out there that's negative to what he said. Because a negative and a positive make sparks fly. Come on, somebody. See, I understand. I can either say what God is saying or I can say what the enemy said. I don't want to know what somebody else already knows. I want to know what he knows because what he knows is what's going to make us go in Jesus' name. Amen. Strategizing. I'm going to hit their finances. I'm going to hit their soul. I'm going to hit their faith. I'm going to cause them to question God. Why did God do this to me? God does no evil. The devil did it, my friend. It wasn't God. It wasn't God. Nowhere in the Bible can you find that God did it. He's not into evil. He's into deliverance. He's into rescue. The enemy is strategizing. Oh, if I can put cancer on them, if I can get them so bound up in that with fear and trembling, then I have them. Somewhere you got to understand that the weapon of disease cannot prosper against you. You've got to understand that cancer cannot prosper against you. It may come, it may slither its way in there, but you're going to have something on the inside of you that's called the power of the Holy Ghost that says and causes a word to rise up in your spirit that says, no weapon formed, no weapon. No weapon formed. No weapon formed. Doesn't matter if it's poverty or sickness and disease or what it's named by. The Father has put Jesus' name above every name. Amen. Strategizing. And so God is telling this prophet everything that the enemy is strategizing. He's sharing it with the king of Israel because Israel is God's beloved. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is a type of the church. And so God is protecting the church. And Elisha is there with his servant. And they're sharing this information with the king of Israel. Ben-Hadad's going crazy. He should have known better to begin with. So here, where's he at? I got to stop that flow. I got to stop the Holy Spirit. I got to stop that word from getting into that ear. See, the devil knows that if he can get you caught up in the minutia of spiritual garbage, you can't hear God. If I can get you so caught up in a defensive mode to where you're always, you know, against the wall and the enemy is pressing on you and always occupying the ear, causing just a roar. He comes as a roaring lion. All he wants you to hear is the buzz and the roar that's out there in the world that's around, that's trying to occupy your mind and your soul. Listen, Elisha learned how to tune it out. He was there in his room, kicked back in a camel hair covered recliner with coconut juice. He's there taking it easy in his prophet chambers. His servant is with him to wait on him and to help him, to assist him. Elisha's inside just meditating on God. Why? Because Elisha, listen, there's a little key here. If you study about Elisha, there's very few times he came out of his chamber just to go. He didn't come out to look at junk or hear things. He stayed inside and sent the servant. All right, you go out there and you tell me what's happening. You tell me what the world is saying. You tell me all the junk that the enemy is doing. You go out there and look at it and you come. I know you're going to come back and tell me. Don't you just love people that are always telling you the problem but have no solution? I'm like, don't come at me with the problem. If you got the problem, you got to have the solution. Go solve your problem. Don't give it to me. You're here to help me accomplish God's will. Okay, Houston, we got a problem. What is it? What's the problem? Why are you telling me the problem? If you know the problem, then ask God for the solution. Somebody say amen. And so here is Ben-Hadad. We got to get this guy. We got to stop them. They say he's in Dothan. We go to Dothan. They come early in the morning. Can you imagine, man? They muster up all those troops and they come and they get that mountain and those hills full of chariots and horses and that massive army of thousands that are gathered together to get one man and a servant. Wow. Somebody is afraid, and it ain't God. Somebody's nervous, and it's not the people of faith. That devil is more afraid of you than you realize. That's why he's mustered up so many armies to send against you to begin with. Come on, somebody. So many voices. Listen. Oh, we got him now. We got the prophet. The servant comes out. He looks around. He gets his eyes open. He sees the mountains and hills surrounding he and Elisha, and fear grips him. He goes running inside. Elisha, Elisha, Elisha! Well, Elisha probably said, oh, shut up. I've heard that before. That's a sound of fear. That's a sound of doubt. It's the sound of unbelief. Elisha, 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 we are surrounded by the enemy out here. We've got, they're all over the place, horses and chariots of fire. What are we going to do? He didn't even budge. He didn't jump up, grab his book, and run out the back door of the hut. What did he do? I told you, he prayed. And what did he pray? Lord, open his eyes. He's disturbing my sleep. He's disturbing my rest. He's trying to get me in the same old mess he's in. He's trying to get me to doubt. He's trying to get me to fear. He's trying to get me to look at the natural circumstances, and the natural circumstances can't do one thing to me because I'm a spiritual man and I have spiritual authority, and I'm standing against a spiritual enemy that cannot be seen, and anything the devil has strategized, it's already overcome. All right. Open his eyes. And see, I believe that that's the same thing that God is wanting to happen for you and I this morning. Come on. Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes. Open his eyes. Lord, open our eyes. Because for some of us, all that we can see is the situation. All we can see is the poverty. All we can see is my want. All we can see is my need. All we can see is our problem. All we can see is our sickness. All we can see is our pain. And listen, pain is real. Listen, I understand that. Pain and sickness are real. Man, and when they come against you, it is hard. But see, in the natural, those are the things that we see. Why? Because we're fed it every single day. There's a new pill for this, a new pill for that, that you can take this, you can go exercise, you can have this shot in, you can have that sucked out, you can meditate on this, and you can get the 25 cents of the Dalai Lama. He's going to help you out. Krishna. See, those are the natural things. There's people that won't even leave their house until they've read the horoscope in the morning. And it is a horoscope. Because you look in horror when you look through their scope. Think about this. Lord, open his eyes. And I would to God that God open our eyes this morning. If I could get my eyes open, then I understand that my lame legs are walking. If I can get my eyes open, I understand that my arteries are open and the blood is flowing. If I can get my eyes open, I can see cancer withering and dying in Jesus' name, because it cannot compete with the power of healing inside of my body. See, if I can get my eyes open this morning, I see all my adversaries fleeing in dust because they're running from the power of God that's in me. Because there be more that be with us than they that be with them. Come on. And so I have to know this. He said, Lord, open his eyes. God, open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes. And this is such an intimate thing, because Elisha's thinking, I want you to let him stand on the same ground that I'm standing on. Because there's some people that very seldom stand on the ground of the Spirit and are able to see. See, when you stand on the ground of the Spirit, you're standing there and you understand that Jesus has put me in this same standing with him. Some of our faith didn't operate because of condemnation, shame, because we think that we're nothings and nobodies. And we think, who am I that I should even think that I could see into the realm of the Spirit? I'm going to tell you who you are. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You belong to him. Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes. Suddenly his eyes were opened, and the Bible said, somebody say, the Bible said, that the mountains and the hills round about Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Somebody praise God right there. See what you, oh yeah, give him praise right there. Give him some praise. See, the enemy thought he had them surrounded, but in all essence, God had the enemy surrounded. Somebody shout this out, said, there are more that be with us than they that be with them. And so all of a sudden, when that enemy came down upon Elisha to take him, they could not even recognize who he was. The Bible said that he smote them with blindness. What did he do? He prayed, God, blind them. It didn't mean that they could not see. It means that they could not recognize who he was. They could not recognize their own enemy. They said Elisha was their enemy. And so Elisha says, oh, well, I'll tell you where he is. You just follow me and I'll lead him to you. I'll lead you to him. And so what did Elisha do? Elisha took him and led him to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel got over Jordan and said, hallelujah, let's kill him right here, right now. He said, no, you didn't fight the battle and you're not going to kill him. This is the strategy of the Lord. Render good for evil. Feed them. And you know what happened? There was such a move and a miracle of God that took place right here that this policy of the Syrians was broken right there. They never again came raiding in the land of Israel like they had previously because Elisha rendered good for their evil. Seems like somebody by the name of Jesus and the scripture tells us to do the same thing. The apostle Paul teaches us to do the same thing, that we need to render good for evil. Somebody say amen. See, I want you to get this morning. If God could only open our eyes, that there's an army of heavenly hosts that are gathered round about us today. There are angels without number that are around us. There are horses and chariots of fire that are around us. We may be in Harvest Worship Center this morning and you may see me, but I'm telling you right now, my eyes of my spirit are opened and I see that there are more that be with me than they that be with them. It doesn't matter what the enemy does and how many of the enemy that there has been mustered up against me, I can still proclaim that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every mouth that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn it, because this is my heritage. It is my heritage in Christ. Oh, yeah. So, what are you seeing? What are you looking at? See, I know the devil well enough to know it all starts of a whisper. All starts of a whisper. A little pain comes. A little lump shows up. Something begins to change in the body. And the devil says, you're going to die young. You're going to die young. What's your children going to do? What's your spouse going to do? You're going to die young. And so often many people latch on to that and they believe that. It's like going to the doctor. That is why before you go to a doctor and you're sick and you're dealing something, you better be prepared for that prophetic word that he's going to speak over you. And you better be willing to bind it in the name of Jesus and cast it down. Jennifer, come on up. To bind it and cast it. They're just driving the bus, people. Look up here. Now listen to me. It's important for me to know that whatever that doctor says, there's a word that's higher. There's a word that's higher. I said there's a word that's higher. There's a word that's higher. Oh, my God. My. I wished I had all the answers, but I don't. I wished I could just click my fingers and just make things better, but I can't. But I know that this word can change things. I know that God wants to open our eyes this morning and allow us to see that there are more that be with us than they that be with them. He wants you to see the tumor swiveling away. He wants you to see that poverty being overcome because of the blessing of God. He wants you to see today that that thing that you think that you need is not what you need. And that he's leading you to a greater blessing. He wants you to understand today. If you look unto me, the pit that you were hewn from, the sides of the pit that you were dug out of, if you look unto me and understand, I got you out of that. I'm going to watch over my word to perform it in your life. And if you'll stay with me, and if you'll allow me to let you see what I see, then it's all going to turn out right in Jesus' name. Now, I can only begin to read between the lines what the servant thought when his eyes were opened. I have to measure this way. Let's go ahead and stand together. I have to measure it like this. With the same fear that he had when he saw that enemy army, he saw that thing. It was so big and so massive. When he saw it and he screamed out, "What are we going to do?" I have to believe when his eyes were opened. I said, I have to believe when his eyes were opened and he saw those chariots of fire, those horses, that army of the Lord that had surrounded that enemy army, his shout had to have been a whole lot louder than the first one. Let high praise, let the high praises of God be in your mouth. Let a two-edged sword be in your mouth. So this morning, I don't know what you're faced with or what you're looking at, but I do know this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I pray, Lord, open your eyes this morning. Lord, open our eyes today. Let us see. Let us see, God. Let us see like you see. Open our eyes so that we can see, God, your hand, your army, your miracle, your healing. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus. Right now, I want you to bow your head. Listen to me. What are you facing this morning? What is it that the enemy has tried to muster against you, strategize against you, to try to rob you of your faith and to beat you down and to make you weak? What is it that he's trying to overcome you with? What is he strategizing to stop you with? Listen to me. The very fact that he is attacking you should tell you that I have something great to do. God has something great that he's releasing to me, and I can't be in that condition right there. I've got to get focused right here, right now. See, your adversary is afraid that you will see it and that you will grip it in Jesus' name. So today, first of all, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you don't know him in the pardon and remission of sins this morning, if you don't know him as Lord, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, or maybe you've drifted away from him, maybe you just inside know that things aren't quite right between you and him, today is the day to make that right. I want you to come right now. Meet me at this altar. Come and join me at this altar today and meet me. If you need Jesus, need to get everything under the blood, I want you to meet me right here. Right here. Secondly, whatever that thing is that the enemy is strategizing against you to try to take you out, to weary you, to wear you down, to shame you and to break you, to try to get you to throw in the towel just to give up altogether and call it quits, I'm here to tell you this morning there's an army that's greater than the army of the enemy. I'm here to tell you today that there are more that be with you than they that be with that enemy. I'm here to tell you today that your God, the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, will take your circumstances and completely turn them around for you. He sent his son to do that just for you. So today, if you're saying, Pastor, that's me, I want prayer, I want that breakthrough today, I want you to come and meet me at this altar today. Say, I've been hitting that wall long enough, and it's time for my breakthrough. I've been coming against that thing long enough, and I know the enemy is strategizing against me, and it's my time of breakthrough. It's my time of conquering. It's my time of blessing, and I'm going to have that in Jesus' name today. I want you to step out and meet us at this altar today. Come on, you can do this. You can do this. Say, I'm not going to live in defeat. I'm going to live in victory. I'm not going to live in defeat. I'm going to live triumphant. I'm going to live right now in the place and the position that God intends for me to have and God intends for me to live. Come on. Come on today in Jesus' name. Come in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.